man calling on her phone. I've got no time to be alone. Someone coming at me all the time. You better think I lose my mind. Cause I'm stranded on my own. Stranded far from home. Alright.
Alright, here we are on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcast from the University of British Columbia campus here in Vancouver, and this is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. I'm your host, Matt, and every week at this time, you can hear some great music from a long way away. If you're a Canadian person, I play music from Australia, where I grew up, music that I grew up listening to, and also current music, current tunes, and Canadian music. Lots of great independent music, typically from Vancouver. Today is a bit of a truncated show because the sports broadcast is on at 7 p.m. So usually we have an hour and a half, but not as much time this evening, 1 hour. But that is enough time to get in a really fascinating interview. Towards the second part of the show, I'm going to broadcast a chat I had today with Peter Foldy. Peter is an established recording artist who had a hit song in Canada in 1973 called Bondi Junction. So this is going to be great for the younger listeners to learn about this song, how this came about, and Peter's interesting story, because he spent his formative years in Sydney and actually got to know the Bee Gees before they were big. So when the Bee Gees were already exhibiting a lot of talent playing around the pubs in Sydney, Peter got to know them. And that informed who he became. He became a great melodic, melodically gifted musician himself. So Peter is going to tell you all about how his music came about and what he's up to these days. So that's in the second part of the show. First up, I want to play you a great 7-inch single. This is fantastic. There is a record label called Ugly Pop Records. Now, they've been putting out a lot of these reissues of 7-inch singles from various countries, I believe, including Australia. So they've put out the Master's Apprentices. The very first Master's Apprentices 7-inch was released on this label just this year. I have that, and I'll be playing that in the coming weeks. But today, I've got you a single by a band called Insect. So that's spelled I-N-S-E-C-T, Insect. And they came from Adelaide, and I'm going to play for you a single from 1966. This is great. I had no idea these guys existed. This is, you know, if you look in the annals of rock and roll history, there's so many wonderful bands that were of the same quality as the more well-known bands, but through circumstance weren't acknowledged as much. So this single you're about to hear is, I've never heard it before, and it's incredibly good quality. The song is called I Can See My Love. I'll read you a little bit about them. So this is on the back sleeve. Insect came together in 1961 as show band playing various popular music styles in the Adelaide dance hall circuit, so Adelaide, South Australia, eventually releasing one pop single as Dave Thunder and the Macmen, which proved unsuccessful, so they changed the name to Insect. That you're about to hear is their second single, and it's called I Can See My Love. I'm going to play for you the B-side as well. Yeah, hope you enjoy this. This is Australian, a garage rock rave-up from 1966. Here it is. This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. This is a band called Insect.
I can see my love. tell, but who would understand? I can see my love, I can see my love.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
And we're back on CITR 101.9 FM, wherever you're listening in the world, online as well at CITR.ca. And you just heard there, you may have actually, that last track there was the B-side to the Insect 7-inch. That may be familiar to some listeners, lovers of rock and roll. The song was called Over, Under, Sideways, Down, and it's a cover of a Yardbirds song. So that was a band called Insect from Australia from a long, long time ago. That was a single from 1966, and I found that because the Ugly Pop record label has re-released a whole bunch of garage rock classics, including the Master's Apprentices, which I'll play in another week, a much more well-known band, but Insect... what a great storming garage rock track. That first single there was called I Can See My Love. And yeah, the B-side is a Yardbird song, Over, Under, Sideways, Down. So that's on the Ugly Pop Records label. You can find them online if you wanted to dig into their catalogue of reissues. Thanks for listening, everyone. This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. Don't forget, you can listen to podcasts anytime. Go to Google and type in Oz Stranded, OzStranded, and lots of podcasts will come up, over 100 now, with lots of interviews. And this week, we have a fantastic interview, Peter Foldy. He called down the line from Los Angeles just this afternoon, and a very interesting chap, an established recording artist who had a well-known song called Bondi Junction, which charted in Canada in the 70s. I had a chat with him today, and that's going to come up shortly, around halfway through the show. But coming up next, we have brand new music from The Mark of Cain, a band also from Adelaide. So Insect, who I just played, were a garage rock band from the 60s from Adelaide. But let's fast forward to the present. And the band The Mark of Cain began in 1984 in Adelaide and are still with us. And they are a real, real interesting band and really close to my heart. I spent much time listening to them growing up, feeling somewhat alienated where I was in Canberra, in the capital city. And at a certain point in time, that this music really appealed to me. It was very visceral, very raw and honest. John Scott, the singer from this band, writes some really emotionally honest music about feeling like an outsider. And they've stuck to their guns for all this time. They don't release much music. They're men with who work, have jobs, mortgages, whatnot. So when they do record, every 10 years or so, they put a lot into it. This album was a long time coming. It's called The Songs of the Third and the Fifth. Interestingly, both the lead singer and the bassist are brothers. Very no-nonsense guys, crew cuts. They're both engineers. So they make very precise, heavy music. It's stripped back and in your face, and a lot of intelligence. As I said, the lyrics of John Scott, he uses a lot of military imagery. And the album, the band came to the attention of Henry Rollins. He became a big fan. He recorded their album called Ill at Ease, which is a classic that came out in, I think, 1995. That's when I first got into the band. And also between that album and the next album, John Stainer, the drummer from Helmet, became a huge fan to the point where he joined the Mark of Cain. So John Stainer, who was a world-renowned drummer, very tall man, strong, very heavy drummer, he literally decided, I need to join this band in Adelaide, all the way on the other side of the world. So it's a pretty big deal. So I'm going to play for you two tracks now from their latest record. The two singles, first up is Barkhammer and then Heart of Stone. Let's have a listen. This is The Mark of Cain from Adelaide. Some great hardcore music, which is very, very pointed in its lyrical sensibility and uncompromising in its music.
Oh, November 25th, the highly creative musical group of Somebodies That You All Should Know is coming to Vancouver. It is no other than the overnight sensation Walk Off the Earth, the fabulous indie quintet who will be gracing the stage at the Vogue Theater, joined by Miss Sella Sue. They will be performing a couple of their classic covers that shot them to fame, as well as songs from their new EP, Revo. So, get your tickets online at thevoguetheater.com, Union Events, the Vogue Box Office, or at Zulu Records. Doors open at 7, all ages welcome.
And we're back here on CRTR Radio. This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show, and two very punishing tracks there from the Mark of Cain. They are from Adelaide. Always exciting to hear some new Mark of Cain, because it's very rare that this band puts out music. Only every 10 years or so a new album comes out, but it's always worth it because music with a lot of intensity and a lot of truth to the lyrics have stuck with what they do, and they do well. That's the Mark of Cain. You heard Barkhammer and Heart of Stone, and the album's Songs of the Third and the Fifth, and you can find them online at tmoc.ca, the Mark of Cain. Up next, we have a really wonderful interview with Peter Foldy. He is a musician based in Los Angeles, but he has roots in Canada and Australia. Now, we're going a very different style of music from hardcore from Adelaide through to Peter Foldy, who has a wonderful melodic sense, which you'll hear right now. And we'll start off with a track from Peter Foldy, then we'll get into the interview, and you'll learn really about who he is and his fascinating life story. So this is a track called Rejection From You by Peter Foldy, and then we'll have a listen to the interview that I recorded this afternoon.
I got something I've been meaning to say. I don't know how to tell you, baby, without it sounding cliche. But all I get is negative attention from you. Stone cold stare as if I should try and look upon you. What I feel is rejection from you. I got no one to blame but myself.
I got no one to blame.
I should have seen it coming, baby, but when I met you I fell. Pretty face can always come along and fool me. I'm only human, a friendly smile will sometimes do me. But lately all I feel is rejection from you. I think I'm ready to say it's over and done. Forgive me, I'm saying no to rejection from you. I think I'm ready to say it's over and done. I'm not willing to play this crazy little game that you've begun. But myself,
I got no one to blame.
I should have seen it coming, baby, but when I met you I fell.
I was crazy when I fell.
Life's too short to put up with the crap you give me. It's a trap when you say, baby, please forgive me. You say no to rejection from you. Rejection from you.
This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show, and you just heard there Peter Foldy with the track Rejection From You. Now, Peter Foldy is based in Los Angeles, but he has lived in Sydney, Australia, as well as Toronto. He had a lot of success as a recording artist, particularly following the release of Bondi Junction, which was a big hit for him in 1973. Very interesting chap. He was born in Budapest, Hungary, but is also an Australian citizen, given that he grew up there for part of his life, and of course Canada, and now LA. And I had a chat with him on the phone today. He called through from Los Angeles. So let's have a listen to that chat now, and we'll hear some more songs from Peter Foldy too between now and 7 o'clock, including Bondi Junction. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Matt. Or should I say Matthew?
Oh, Matt's fine. Yeah.
That's good. Hey, Matt. How are you?
I'm very good. Really excited to connect. Thanks so much to Sarah Lapsley for letting me know about you being in town recently. You're recording with Todd Fancy, who is a local musician. We'll get to that a bit later. But first of all, you spent time in Sydney.
Right through the 60s. I actually lived in Sydney from like late, you know, this is going to really age me, but from the late 50s to the to about, I think I left in 65. So yeah, I lived there quite a while, about seven or eight or maybe even nine years. I'm not entirely sure at this point. And I am an Australian citizen. You know, I got my citizenship. I'm one of the few Aussies without a real Aussie accent. I actually had one when I lived there, but lost it from all the years away. And now I'm a Canadian because I moved from Sydney with my family when I was a kid. I moved to Toronto, so you know, spent a lot of time in Toronto living there, and you know, started working in LA, and that's how come I'm here.
And so Sydney was definitely like a formative period for you.
Pretty much so, yeah.
For the, I mean, those teenage years. And how did music come about for you? Because having personally known members of the Bee Gees is an extraordinary stroke of good fortune. Were you already doing music before you met them, or how did that relationship develop, and how did it affect your life?
Well, basically, my mother tells me I was always a musical little kid. I used to like sort of sing and dance and just be a little clown when I was a kid. And I always had an interest in it, you know, for whatever reason, you know, because I felt I was okay at it, I guess. I mean, I don't know if I was okay at it. I probably sucked. But, you know, I always liked music. And when I was about 12, I went on some, since this is an Australian show, some people might remember, it was called Opportunity Knocks with Desmond Tester. Hmm. It was an Aussie kiddies talent show. The Bee Gees were on it as well, like, you know, probably around the same time. And I want to watch or some damn thing, but it was so exciting to be on television. I think, I'm not sure if it was live. I don't think, yeah, it was live. Of course it was live. They didn't tape anything then. And it was just like this real, like, I can, you know, sometimes I still smell wood, you know, like construction wood, and it reminds me of that studio. Like, it was just a magical time. So anyway, I had an interest in music, and when I went to high school, I met a kid called Trevor Gordon, who was a singer in Australia, and he was quite well known back in those days. This is the 60s now. And Trevor sang on the Johnny O'Keefe show a lot, and he used to do a lot of duets with Little Patty, who was a big Australian pop star at the time, a young pop star at the time. And through Trevor, who became sort of this TV star of sorts, I got to meet first Morris, and then Robin, and then Barry, got to meet all the Bee Gees. And they were very, very influential, first of all, because of their amazing talent. Just going out to their house and seeing those guys pick up guitars and start singing three-part harmony, you know, being in the same room, which you just go, oh, my God, you know, you just don't hear things like that, you know, unless, you know, it's Lennon, McCartney. I mean, that's how good they were. They were just so amazing, the blend between the brothers. And, you know, I was just, like, knocked out by the talent and by the whole excitement of what was starting to happen for them. They weren't gigantic stars. They didn't get a whole bunch of respect in Australia in the early days, you know, because they were kind of dorky-looking kids with those buck teeth and wore those crazy little vests and things. And Australia at first, you know, although they were working a lot at RSL clubs and on television, I don't think they were, like, you know, anywhere, well, I know they weren't anywhere near the acclaim given to them as they received once they started having hits in England. But, you know. But so that's basically, that was a huge inspiration to me to say, oh, my God, I want to do this too. Of course, I never told anybody, and I certainly wouldn't have told the Bee Gees or Trevor because I was too, embarrassed and too sort of overwhelmed by their talent to ever like bring that up. Oh, by the way, guys, I want to be a singer too.
Yeah.
Yeah, screw you. You know, I don't know what they would have said. They might have been encouraging, because later when they went to England, they brought Trevor out, and he had a very, very successful recording career that the Bee Gees produced in a band called Marbles, and they had a bunch of, you know, a couple of number one hit records in Europe. So, in fact, the Bee Gees are very helpful of their friends. They launched Samantha Sang. They helped Trevor a great deal, you know, so who knows. But I never told them that I wanted to be a singer. I didn't really know what I wanted to be other than in entertainment business, which was kind of a secret I kept to myself. Sorry if this was a long-winded answer.
No, I mean, it's so interesting because, yeah, people associate them with the big mainstream disco hits, but you were around at that time, yeah, when they were literally in their formative period, and I'm intending to do a special on that period here on the show, so this is a really good segue into that.
Cool,
but
cool.
For another time.
Well, you know, in those days, the Bee Gees were actually adult entertainers. I don't mean adult like pornography. I mean, like, they would play for adults. Their audiences were adults. They were playing at RSL clubs, you know, like, and so they would sing, you know, Mills Brothers songs and you know, like, you know, they would sing Bye Bye Blackbird and things like that, you know. They weren't a rock band at that time, although maybe they wanted to be, but that they made their living by playing those kind of clubs where people gambled and smoked. So that's how they started, and that's how they got to be so amazingly tight, because, you know, just like when the Beatles went to Hamburg and played in all those clubs, the Bee Gees did exactly the same thing, except they were playing kind of a different genre of material.
That's right, yeah. And just that melodic gift, and listening to the music that you have written, the melodies stand out. And was that, I mean, it's always hard to say exactly cause and effect, but being around the Bee Gees must have informed your melodic sense. Did you
always?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. They definitely were a huge influence on me. You know, the thing is, I've always liked melodic music. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, I loved listening to records, and, you know, I'm told my grandparents, well, I remember my grandparents in Hungary. I was born in Budapest, Hungary, by the way. I didn't tell you that earlier, but my grandparents used to take me to the opera and stuff, so I've always liked melodies and music, and, you know, I was kind of infused with that. So I like melodies, you know, call me crazy. I know that's not always, you know, the going thing these days, but I do happen to like melodies, and the Bee Gees were a huge influence on, you know, just being around them in every way, not only in music, but also we used to make little films on the weekends with Trevor and Morris and Robin and Barry, and I've got a couple of them here, actually, these little Super 8 films that we'd all, you know, act crazy in, and that was also a huge inspiration for me to look towards, eventually towards a career in film, which is basically what I've been doing for the last, you know, 15, 20 years.
I was young, she was fair, and I knew when I first saw her, she would take me there. She was fine, said hello, and she smiled, and she told me what her name was, and I told her mine, a hopeful sign. And we met in Bondi Junction, that is where I first found love. Took her home, I was scared, didn't want her parents coming home to find us there. Later on, she made tea, and I thought that I would want her till eternity. But I was wrong, and we met in Bondi Junction. That is where I first found love.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. LiveVan.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
We're back on CITR Radio. This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. And you just heard there the 1973 classic single from Peter Foldy called Bondi Junction. And when I learnt that Peter Foldy was around and able to be contacted, I knew I had to interview him because he's perfect for this show. He is a gentleman who spent time in both Sydney and Toronto. And that song, Bondi Junction, you're going to learn all about how that came about right now in the second part of my interview with Peter. And you're most well known, at least in Canada, for the song, the Bondi song.
Bondi Junction.
Bondi Junction. Is there a very specific emotional memory of a specific girl at Bondi Junction?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There was. Very much so. Well, you know, Bondi Junction is like Bondi Beach, everybody's heard of. Bondi Junction, you know, people from Australia know what a junction is. You know, it's kind of like a main street area, you know, main section of a suburb. And that's where my school bus used to go. I used to catch my school bus from Bondi Junction to go to my high school. And, you know, in those days, there were separate boys' schools and girls' schools, so I was on the boys' school bus, and the bus, like, always stopped at this stop where the girls' school people were, the girls were waiting. And so there was this really beautiful girl. She kind of looked like little Patty, that singer I was telling you about. She was really cute and blonde, and I used to, like, always see her and just make eye contact. And I was, of course, extremely shy. And one day I got the nerve to throw a note out the bus saying, meet me in Bondi Junction on Saturday at 1 o'clock in front of the Metro Cinema or something to that.
Wow.
And that took nerve. So I threw it out, and like an idiot, I showed up, and so did she. It was crazy. It was like one of these bizarre things. And she showed up, and we barely talked, but we went to the cinema, and we like held hands and, you know, kissed a little bit or something, which is pretty brave for me in those days. And, you know, it was just like a memory that always stayed with me. And so many, many years later in Toronto, I was just playing around on the guitar, and that song just kind of, I gave birth to that song. And it was a very, fortuitous thing. And I demoed it along with some other songs, and practically overnight, you know, within a few months, I got signed to a record deal and made this record with, you know, like an orchestra playing on it and great studio musicians, and made it in one of the best studios in Toronto. And the damn thing came out and basically went to number one in Canada, and, you know, that sort of launched my music career.
And it's really great to know that really came from a genuine moment, an emotionally resonant moment, you know, that a song became big from
it. It was a real thing, definitely,
yeah.
You know.
I don't know
where this girl is. I can't even think of her name at this point, but, you know, I wonder if she knows that somebody wrote a song about her that went to number one.
Yeah, because it's not always the case. We know it's a little bit of a cynical world, and we know that often hits are manufactured, but it's really great to know this story.
This is basically a true story, and I even sort of talk about, in the lyrics, I talk about, you know, later on we had tea, I thought I'd wonder for eternity, but I was wrong, because that's what happens, you move on. But, you know, it was a true thing that inspired that song to be made.
Yeah, and did you, in terms of performance, is that a song you played much? Did your career, was there a lot of live performance that took place after that?
Yeah, after that, I went on the road, did a tour of the Maritimes, and then a few years after that, I opened for the Hollies across Canada. I played about four or five dates with them. By that point, I was signed by Capital EMI in Canada, and I opened for the Hollies. So, yeah, I did play it live. You know, sometimes I'd play it with just on guitar or with a piano player, and then I've also played it with a band with a couple of girl backup singers, and performed it a lot. And, you know, I mean, from Bondi Junction, I went on to have a few other top 10 hits in Canada. None of them were as big as Bondi was, but I have a song called Roxanne, which was very successful. A lot of people know, And in fact, I've just re-recorded it for this new album, sort of did the 2012 updated adult version of it, you know, kind of slower and sexier. So pretty pleased with that. And that's going to be on this new album I'm recording right now.
Oh, great. So after that initial period of success with those singles, the move to LA happened and you started movies, and I guess music was put on the back burner for quite some time.
I mean, I had a good run of at least 10 or 12 years in the music business. You know, like I had Bondi Junction, and then I got signed by EMI, had a couple of successful singles for them, and they were sending me down to record in Los Angeles. And so the minute I kind of stepped off the plane in L.A., I kind of thought, oh, my God, I want to live here. This is, you know, it's kind of like paradise. And it's very much like Sydney in a lot of ways. I felt very comfortable, you know, whereas Toronto is nothing like Sydney. And, you know, so eventually I came down here and, you know, I got a deal with Polydor, and then I got a deal with RCA down here, but it all kind of came to a grinding halt in the early 80s, and I had studied film in Toronto at York University, so I thought, well, I'm in a city where films are made, so I started writing scripts, and just like with Bondi Junction, my first record went to number one. The first script I basically wrote with another writing partner, we sold it right away, and it got made, and the film made about $10 million. It was a little teens sex comedy, basically, kind of in the vein of American Pie, that kind of thing. But, you know, it was a great instant foot in the door into the movie business, and I got to be an associate producer on the film, and it was a great experience. And that kind of, you know, kept the film thing, or kick-started my film career.
Walking in the sun, holding hands in front of everyone. You and me, we're meant to be together. You were 18, I was 1 year more, making love beside the ocean shore. You and me, trying to make it last forever. And it was just the two of us that whole summer through, sharing secrets in the dark. Told you that I loved you, girl. You said that you loved me too. In too deep, making promises we could not keep. It broke my heart the night you said goodbye.
It's a song called Broken Hearted Beats.
AMS Events proudly presents Tim Chasen with Poor Young Things, November 29th at the Pit Pub. With his newest album, The Other Side, the pride of PEI is quite literally going back to his roots. The album takes on a tinge of maritime roots and folk, incorporating an array of acoustic instruments and a warm, transparent production style. Since 2009's Broken Hearted Beat, audiences were introduced to a golden-voiced young performer-slash-songwriter with a mosaic-like approach to writing music named Tim Chasen, and he's an act you don't want to miss. Thursday, November 29th at the Pit Pub. Sponsored by CITR 101.9.
This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. Don't forget, you can find podcasts on the show blog. Go to Google and type in Oz Stranded, OzStranded. Lots of podcasts there, and including lots of great interviews, as well as the one today. This will be up shortly. This is Peter Foldy we're chatting with. You just heard another a tune there from Peter Foldy called You and Me. And Peter Foldy has a fascinating life story, and we've been learning all about his work in music that led to the track Bondi Junction, which many people may be familiar with, but also other work. And he's been working with a gentleman who is a local musician that people should know. His name is Todd Fancy. He is based in Vancouver, member of the New Pornographers. So that's how I discovered that Peter was around. He was in town recording with Todd. And I knew I had to find Peter and have a chat with him. So let's listen to our last part of the interview with Peter Foldy. And it's good to hear that the music's coming back, not only with your current album, but Todd Fancy, he's a local musician here, who also has a real strong melodic gift. How did your connection with Todd come about with this recording project?
Well, it was really strange. He's in a band called the New Pornographers, which is a Juno Award-winning band out of Canada. With they have great success all around the world, basically. And one day I just got this email. It says, Todd from the New Pornographers. And I had just, I had just been listening to some New Pornographers not that long prior. And I thought, oh, this is strange, And so I opened it up and said, hey, I'm Todd, and I've recently discovered your music, and I'm a big fan of your voice, and blah, 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 blah. And it'd be really cool if you'd ever consider coming to Vancouver and singing on this new solo album I'm doing. And I went, yeah, right, who is this, I thought, this is BS, it was just seemed so weird, it's kind of like a glowing email from somebody that, whose music I respected. So I kind of checked it out, and I wrote to him, and we talked on the phone, and it was real. And I flew up to Vancouver, a couple of months ago, not even that long ago, about 6 weeks ago, and did about four very intense days of singing some background vocals and some bunch of harmonies on his tracks. And it's going really well, and I'm going back again probably early January to do some more. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun working with Todd. He's a very talented guy, great, very melodic guy, very precise in terms of his recording techniques. He wants it all to be just great, which is kind of what I'm like as well. I tend to be a perfectionist. I try to be. You run out of money and they say, okay, no more perfection. We've got to finish. Got to finish up,
Well, ultimately, I'm just so happy to chat with you. With someone who has that melodic sense, because there's a lot of music these days that seems so detached and distorted or otherwise messed with, but a melody is a good melody is a good melody, and emotional resonance is real. And
no, I appreciate you saying that. I think melodies are kind of going to make a comeback. I do. I think. If they haven't, I don't think they ever went away. I mean, a good melody is a good melody for sure. But I don't know. I think good music, is forever. I think people remember it, and that sticks in people's brains. And fortunately, people, or unfortunately, people have a lot of different choices. I mean, when I was growing up, the choices were far more limited. You either liked the Stones or the Beatles. You liked Neil Young or Crosby, Stills, Nash, or somebody else. So the choices weren't as wide as they are now, and there's so much music out there. But people discover what they like, and they and that's been a very crazy thing for me, because I all but given up music, and then the internet happened, and I started getting emails and stuff from people saying, oh my god, I'm a big fan of yours, and oh, I got your record, and blah blah blah. So so that led us to a small label in Canada to put out a Best of Peter Foley. This is in about 2007. And I did a tour across Canada with doing all those kind of breakfast television shows, those early morning shows, which is pretty grueling, trying to sing at 7:30 in the morning. But did that. But it made me realize that there's a bunch of people out there who actually think very fondly of Bondi Junction and my early stuff because it was a part of their lives when they were going on their first dates or met their girlfriends or boyfriends. And, you know, like so many people wrote stuff to me. You know, I remember dancing to your record. I remember da-da-da. I've had people write to me and say, you know, I got your autograph when I was 15, you know. And none of this would have been possible in the days of snail mail. You know, it would have been, you know, with the internet and email and websites and Facebook, I've discovered that there are people, you know, who like my stuff. Still like my stuff, so it's kind of cool, and that's why we did the Best of Peter Foley, and that's why I'm working on this new album for people who might still be interested.
Oh, that's great. And we'll definitely, hopefully we'll have you back here again in the early year, and maybe, listeners, we might have Peter in the studio. That would be the dream. But
I would love that. And, I can, you know.
Yeah, and actually...
That would be awesome.
And I'm actually going to put it to you. I've just been learning myself the last year guitar, and last night was my very first show playing in front of people in a little house.
Oh, fantastic.
And I was just wondering, if offline, maybe would you be able to send me the chords to Bondi Junction? I'd like to play that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, thanks
I would
so
love
much.
To.
Yeah. This is how it works, you know. You get inspired and add a cover to the set, and people learn.
That would be awesome. Sing Bondi Junction. You're an Aussie.
You
should know that song.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll leave. And just with one last point that, it's like you answered the phone and said you're in sunny LA, and I was like, oh yeah, we're in gloomy Vancouver. But you know what? The melodies, music help to make this place less gloomy. It really does.
That's very true. I appreciate you saying that. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know, when I was up there working with Todd on his tracks, you know, his stuff has got so much like heart to it and so much, you know, such great melodies that, you know, like it was gloomy when I was there. But you know, doing music is just an amazing, you know, therapeutic experience. Doing it and listening to it, so it's a great blessing that we have that in our lives.
Absolutely, that's what I felt last night for the first time playing songs I wrote. And
were you nervous?
I was. Yes, but once I got through the first song, you know, it just felt natural.
I know.
It felt right.
It's amazing.
So.
Yeah. I like basically practically crap myself before I walk on stage. Usually it's like, oh my God, I can't do this, especially doing television or live television. But the minute you step out there, it's kind of like the fear goes away. It's just something comes over you and you just go with the flow.
Exactly.
Carly, it's not fair. I won't be there, standing beside you. You think I'm wasting your time, not towing the line. I always misguide you. Now you're sipping vino, or is it cappuccino, as you give your heart away. Always thought that we were connected. Losing you like this is rather unexpected. Carly, can't you see I'm trying? One minute more, that's all I'm asking for. Carly, please don't leave me crying. Send me a message, girl. Say that you'll be home tonight. Carly, you've made your move. You've got something to prove, and you think it's essential. Weren't you the one to declare you'd always be there? Now it's inconsequential. I'm staring out the window, sitting here in limbo, watching night turn into day. Suddenly our love feels suspended. Is it true? Have I really been unfriended? Carly, can't you see I'm trying? One minute more, that's all I'm asking for. Carly, please don't leave me crying.
all, and I know it's conclusive. The sounds of hallelujah are loud enough to fool ya when you're lost in nowhere land. It hurts to think.
And that was one last track from Peter Foldy. The song is called Carly. And Peter Foldy called through today from LA, and you just heard the extended interview that I recorded with Peter, where he spoke all about his life journey from Sydney to Toronto through to LA. And we'll hopefully have him back again another time. Rumor has it he might be back visiting Vancouver early next year. In the meantime, go to peterfoldy.com and you'll learn all about his extraordinary lengthy other career in film. And if you click on music, you can actually get a little bit more information about music. And there's his album, A Bondi Junction and Other Hits, listed. So you can buy the CD there. Thanks for listening. If you missed part of that interview or any most of the show, you can go to Google and type in Oz Stranded, OzStranded, and you will find lots of podcasts. And you can also follow on Twitter. Go to Twitter and you can find it at Oz Stranded. Thanks so much for listening. My name's Matt. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian music show. We have sports up next. This is a truncated show, usually hour and a half, but an hour this week. Bye for now, and I'll catch you next time.
Do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic.
It's Venus.
Huh?
Venus.
Why not? We've bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hi, this is the Gearing Up Inventors. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Right here on News 101.
What motivated you to become a candidate in the provincial election?
The media portrayal of last week's protest that resulted in polarizing images of black-clad activists taking to the streets.
He was just explaining to us the reason why they wanted to show this film on campus.
The official stance is that we are for the Olympics.
News 101 reporter Brad Pepping was there.
By discriminating against homeless people in Vancouver, there's a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal people as well as people with disabilities.
I was pretty outraged. I mean, it is outrageous.
In-depth coverage from an alternative perspective. News 101 is Vancouver's only live, volunteer-produced student and community newscast, bringing you local, national, and international news from an alternative perspective. Tune in Mondays and Fridays at 5 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Live streaming and podcasts are available online at citr.ca.
The following is a live presentation of CITR Sports.
Brown John with the puck on the near side corner. And it'll tie up there in behind the net as the Thunderbirds try to get control of it in their own zone early in this first period. It's flipped off the boards. It'll be missed on the wall by Helland. And it'll go all the way down the ice and handled by Jeffries out of her own net. She's going to move it ahead on left wing. University of Alberta playing a very tight game. They come into this matchup with a record of 8-4-0. And they currently sit tied for second in the Canada West.
Both teams getting a lot of early changes here, trying to get all the players into the lineup.